opening narration, exact text.
Ekatra Foundation presents the Ekatra Dialogue, an exploration of the world's greatest thinkers and ideas. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI.
Introduction.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're tackling a real icon, Barbara Streisand. A name that just brings up so much, right? Talent, control, maybe some controversy too.
Definitely. And we're diving into her world through Christopher Anderson's biography, Barbara. The way she is, he interviewed like hundreds of people, friends, family, insiders.
Yeah, it sounds like a real investigative piece.
It is. And the goal here really is to get past that sort of diva image,
mm-hmm.
to understand the person underneath. Anderson's big idea is that her whole public persona, that perfectionism, it all stems from, well, some pretty deep childhood trauma and this lifelong search for validation, for control.
That makes sense. I mean, ego winner, trailblazer.
Yeah.
But what was the engine? Why refuse to compromise? That's what I want to know.
Exactly. What drove her and what did it cost?
Okay, let's get into it. Let's unpack Barbara Streisand.
The chronological journey.
So the book starts us off in Brooklyn, which sounds, you know, world away from where she ended up. How did those early years set the stage?
Oh, absolutely. Anderson really paints this picture of the sad little girl from Brooklyn. It's quite affecting, actually.
Yeah.
Two major things happened early on. First, her dad died. She was only 15 months old.
Wow.
And the book argues that left this huge void, a constant searching for approval, especially from like smart, older father figure types.
Okay, I see.
But the day-to-day impact, that was her mother, Diana, described as super critical, emotionally distant, always picking on Barbara's looks, the nose especially, and just dismissing her talent. Mm. Anderson calls it the primal wound, and it created this almost like desperate need to be seen, to be admired. So being the oddball, the thrift store clothes,
yeah.
It wasn't just style, it's kind of a defense mechanism, you know? Standing out because she felt so insecure inside.
So that lack of validation, that hurt, it actually fueled her ambition. How did that, you know, turn into this incredible career where she just broke all the molds?
Yeah, it became this powerful engine, definitely. She escapes Brooklyn, lands in Greenwich Village, and suddenly her uniqueness clicks. That voice, that dramatic style, it worked there.
Right, she found her people.
Kind of. I can get it for you. Wholesale was the big break. Broadway Tony nomination. Suddenly, she's the name.
And the control thing started early.
Oh, yeah. Right away. She's telling them how she wants to be costumed, how the song should sound, even the lighting.
Really? That early?
Uh-huh. And amazingly, Columbia Records, Goodard Lieberson, they gave her full artistic control, which almost never happened then.
Smart move, though.
Totally. Like to huge albums, Grammys, and Funny Girl.
Well, that was just perfect, wasn't it? The sort of ugly duckling making good through sheer talent and grit. It was her story.
It really was. It wasn't just acting. It was like she was saying, this is me. Raw, different, and people loved it. It showed that vulnerability, even defiance, could actually be star power.
That's such a key point, the authenticity. But okay, stardom hits, but then the difficult label starts almost immediately.
Mm-hmm.
How does Anderson explain that? Success, but also this reputation.
Well, this is where it gets really interesting. The book argues it wasn't just ego, not diva behavior for its own sake.
Very
it was fear, deep fear of failure tied to that insane perfectionism, all going back to those childhood wounds. Imagine your mom's critical voice in your head, but like amplified by millions.
Yeah, that's intense pressure.
Right. Anderson quotes someone saying, Barbara's perfectionism was never about arrogance. It was a symptom of terror.
Wow, terror.
And she just refused to change. Anderson says Hollywood wanted the whole makeover, fix the nose, lose the accent, be sweeter.
Right.
And her biggest act of defiance, the key to everything, was just saying, no, this is who I am. That was her asserting control.
So those early movie experiences,
mm-hmm.
like Funny Girl,
mm-hmm.
the book mentions clashes there too. How did that shape things?
Oh, absolutely. Crucial detail. On Funny Girl, her first film, she's clashing with William Wyler, a legendary director, and Omar Sharif.
Hmm.
And she's pushing for retakes, not to be difficult, but because she felt the lighting wasn't right for the emotion, or a line reading wasn't exactly it.
So it was about the work for her.
Exactly. From her perspective, it was protecting the art, driven by that fear of imperfection. These weren't just arguments. They were battles for her vision. And then you get the John Peters era, A Star Is Born.
Yeah.
That was intense. Passion, ambition, maybe some psychological codependence too.
Right, right.
And Peters really pushed her to take total control. That cemented her power as a producer, showed her vision went way beyond just performing.
So this drive, this need for control, it pushed her into directing too, which was huge for a woman back then.
Absolutely huge. And think about it. This unstoppable force, her will, hitting the brick wall of Hollywood sexism. Getting Yentl made took her a decade. A decade. Because executives just couldn't wrap their heads around a woman writing, directing, producing, and starring in this ambitious musical drama.
Unbelievable.
But she did it. And its success was this massive statement. Proof a woman could be the boss on set. Then The Prince of Tides gets all these nominations. Best Picture, even.
But no Best Director knock for her.
Nope. And Anderson points straight at sexism again. Just this resistance to seeing a woman in that role. Her political activism, too. You can see it as another way she channeled that need for control, that drive to make change.
So much professional achievement, constantly pushing boundaries. You'd hope that brought some inner peace.
Mm-hmm.
But what about her personal life? Did she find that calm eventually?
Yeah, this is the really human part of the story. The book talks about her stage fright. Crippling stage fright.
I remember reading about that. She didn't tour for ages.
27 years between full paid concerts. And it wasn't just nerves. It was tied, again, to the perfectionism, the terror of judgment, hearing her mother's voice in the audience, basically.
God, that's heartbreaking.
So that 1994 comeback tour, the concert, wasn't just a tour. It was this huge psychological win for her.
Mm-hmm.
But the real happy ending, as Anderson puts it, seems to be her marriage to James Brolin.
Yes.
He apparently gave her that unconditional love, that security she'd been searching for her whole life. It allowed her to quiet some of that internal noise, face down those fears.
That makes a lot of sense.
There's this quote in the book. It really sums it up. She spent the first half of her life trying to become famous enough to win her mother's love, and the second half discovering that no amount of fame could ever fill that void.
Wow. That hits hard. External success just can't fix internal wounds.
Core philosophy and values. Implicitly covered in Part 3 Drive, perfectionism, authenticity, control.
Three pivotal turning points. Implicitly covered father's death, mother's criticism, getting artistic control, meeting James Brolin.
Human lessons and reflection. So her story is just massive.
Yeah.
Epic almost, but incredibly human when you break it down like this. Are there lessons here for, you know, the rest of us, things that resonate?
Oh, absolutely. I think the book offers some really powerful takeaways for anyone. First, it's just a powerful reminder to maybe understand the roots of our own behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Her life is such a clear example of how childhood stuff shapes us, our drives, our fears, our relationships. It makes you think, right, how do my own early experiences still echo?
Definitely makes you reflect.
And then the idea of turning weaknesses into strengths. She was told her nose, her voice, her personality were wrong. And she basically said, no, this is me. And made those the very things that made her unique and successful. It's a great lesson. Maybe the things you're insecure about are actually your superpowers if you own them.
I like that. Own your weirdness.
Totally. Also, it gives you a different lens for difficult people. Instead of just labeling someone demanding or controlling, maybe ask, what's underneath? Is it fear? Insecurity. A really strong vision they're protecting, like she was. It encourages a bit more empathy, I think.
That's a good point. Less judgment, more curiosity.
Exactly. And finally, maybe the biggest one. Success doesn't automatically fix insecurity. All the awards, the fame, the money. It didn't heal those deeper wounds. Real contentment, for her and probably for most of us, comes more from self-acceptance and genuine loving relationships. That's pretty crucial in our world that's so focused on achievement.
Yeah, that external validation trap, it's easy to fall into. It's amazing how much of that public icon was built on such private foundations. It really does make her feel much more relatable, even with the extraordinary scale of her life.
It really does. It brings the legend down to earth in a way.
Three final takeaways.
Okay, so if we boil this all down, thinking about everything we've discussed, what are the absolute core takeaways from this deep dive into Barbra Streisand?
Right. Well, first, I think there's a powerful emotional insight. The line between genius and, well, neurosis can be incredibly thin. Huge success often comes from a place of deep emotional need. Even the biggest stars are wrestling with their pasts, looking for the same basic things we all are. Love, acceptance, feeling secure.
Mm-hmm. That resonates.
Then, an intellectual insight. Getting something extraordinary done often means you have to be willing to be misunderstood, even criticized, for sticking to your standards. Authenticity might be harder in the short term, but like with her, it often leads to more lasting impact than just trying to fit in.
Stick to your guns, basically.
Yeah, if you truly believe in it. And finally, a universal insight. Sometimes, one person refusing to accept limits can actually break down barriers for everyone else. Streisand's fight for creative control, for her artistic vision, it really did open doors for women and other artists who came after her. It shows how powerful individual authenticity can be on a bigger scale.
Closing narration.
Yeah.
Exact tech.
What a profound deep dive. It really underscores that behind every legend, there's a person with a complex, deeply human story. Fears, dreams, and that relentless drive.
And it's such a testament to believing in yourself, isn't it? Even when everything, maybe even your own inner critic, is telling you to just blend in, owning who you are.
Yeah, exactly. You could almost say her whole career was this incredible, complicated way of trying to heal herself. And look what she created in the process. Definitely leaves you thinking. Join us next time for a new episode featuring another world-renowned individual, a new book, and a new idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.